Acts chapter 13. Man, I ain't forgot the night the Lord saved me. And I don't know, I just don't know that you could forget. I mean, the God of heaven making you alive in the inner man when you were dead in trespasses and sins. And people say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I ever got saved or not. Man, if it ever happens, you won't forget. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. 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 I've heard those types of testimonies many times. People get dementia and Alzheimer's, all kinds of things, and they don't know themselves just about it, but they never forget when Jesus saved them. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can get over religion, but you'll never get over Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can get over some emotional experience, but you'll never get over getting saved. Amen. Praise God. Isn't it good to be saved this morning? Isn't it good to have a Bible and have a church to come to and have all these things that we've got? Isn't it good just to have a heart stirred? Had a good Sunday school this morning. Us men have been going through the book of Revelation. And Brother Ernest talking about the sovereign will of God. Thank God there is a sovereign will. He is a sovereign God. Amen. And the more, you better know the sovereign will of God, because if you know His sovereign will, you know how you can live according to His sovereign will. You want to get in line with His sovereign will. There are some things that are just going to happen. And He's going to see to it that they do happen. Amen. And we'll not change the course of His sovereign will. We better work with His sovereign will. Work in His sovereign will. Amen. And thank God we serve that kind of God. When the world doesn't know what's going to happen, we know what's going to happen. We know what God's going to do. Amen. If we've got a Bible, we can know. And it's just been good this morning. All these good songs, they've all been Savior-centered. Amen. And salvation-centered. And that's why we're here, praise God. We're not here. Listen, I know we all go through storms, and I don't know why I'm kind of hung up on this past couple days and weeks, but I know we all go through storms. We all have hard times. We all have all those things. And thank God He does get us through those things. But man, we don't come to church to moan and groan about our storms. We come to church to exalt the Savior, amen? The one who's got power over the storm. It's all about Him, praise God. Because we're anything is because of Him. Anything we are, anything we have, whatever, anything we ever will be, it's all because of Him. Amen. And thank God He is in control. Amen. Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to know Jesus? And isn't it even better that Jesus knows you if you're saved? I've said many times, it's not as important that you know Jesus. It's more important that He knows you. That's the important thing. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're in Romans chapter 13 this morning. Thank God for a Bible. Romans 13. And if you found your place and are physically able to, we'll stand one last time in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And you won't mind standing this last time when we're 2 hours in and you're wishing you could stand. Praise God. I'd just like to remind you of all your blessings, you know, remind you of where you're blessed. But no, Romans chapter 13. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We finished out Romans chapter 12 Wednesday night. And starting in Romans chapter 13, and we're on the home stretch of the book of Romans, all the practical application here. And we're going to look at what God deals with, what God tells His people, commands His people right here in this next passage in Romans chapter 13. It's interesting how you read the Bible, and many would say and believe that the Bible is archaic and outdated and not applicable to this day and all those things. But it's amazing how when you really do read the Bible and you really do study it, you do preach it and hear it preached, how really there is no area of our life that is not touched by the Scriptures. God, there's no area of your life that God does not command. He does not have a command or a principle or, you know, something to conduct any area, even the specific areas. God's interested in the specifics of our life, and He's interested in this area this morning. And it's just what God's given us. That's what I love about preaching verse by verse, is that the next passage is always just the next passage. You just preach what God said. Amen. And this is what God's commanded us right here. He says in Romans chapter 13, verse number 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Enough reading there, and we've seen so far and kind of throughout, you know, the chapter 12, we just closed out chapter 12, dealing with how to behave. God is dealt with, our behavior as a part of the church, a part of the body is dealt with, and there at the end of the chapter it deals with our behavior, how to live among the Lord's people, how to live among lost people, and so really it's all of our behavior as a Christian. And God is interested in your behavior as a Christian. If you say you're a Christian, God's interested in your behavior. Amen? Right here, we shift our attention, our focus a little bit, and God begins to deal not just with our behavior as a Christian, but deal with our behavior and our living as a citizen. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, is how to live as a citizen. And so let's look at this, and we're going to pray and then give you the message this morning. Father, we come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you, Father, for the instruction in your word that we might know your mind and know how to please you and, Lord, how to glorify you and honor you with our life. Lord, how that we might, Lord, live best for you. And Father, I thank you for all the things that we've seen, Lord, already throughout the book of Romans. Thank you, Lord, for all the preaching that's been done, Lord, from the word of God. Lord, from this pulpit all through the years and down through the ages. And Lord, I thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to come and hear the word of God. And Father, I pray that you would help us all, Lord, to receive with meekness, Lord, the engrafted word. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our lives. May we be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Father, I pray that you would just speak to us and help us. Draw us close to yourself. Do that work within our heart that only you can do. Lord, encourage us and uplift us. Reprove, rebuke us where we need it. Lord, I pray for that lost soul that might be amongst us here this morning, that you would do a work in their heart and their life. Lord, I pray that you would draw them to the foot of the cross. May they be saved before it's too late. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So again, and then 12, chapter 12, all the way through the end of the book, deals with our duty regarding the gospel. And we have a duty if we are saved. And what we're really seeing here is God's expectations of us, which are saved. Now, everybody here might not be saved this morning, but if you're saved, you say you're a Christian, this is God's expectation of you. These are the way that God expects His people and His children to live and behave and to act and to conduct themselves. Amen? And so in chapter 12, we've seen how to behave as a Christian toward the Lord's people and towards the lost people. God is interested in both. And really what that whole chapter boils down to, it really boils down to honoring God and the gospel in all that we say and do. Amen? Now, it's sad that you feel like you have to say that to, you know, self-proclaimed Christians now, but we're in that day where, I mean, you got to remind people that every way we live and everything you do, if you're a part of this church and a part of this body, and if you're, you know, say you're a part of the family of God and you're saved and you name the name of Christ, then you better be sure that you honor God and the gospel in everything you say and in everything everything that you do. Amen? Not just within the four walls of the church. And so that's kind of the boiled down version, the in a nutshell version of chapter 12. That's what it all comes down to. And so in chapter 13, we cross over into chapter 13 and we kind of turn our attention not just to Christian matters, but to civil matters. And God is interested in how we live civilly as well. In other words, how to behave regarding the state. Now, somebody might say, well, I'm a citizen of another country, you know, and so I'm not subject to these laws here and all these things. Well, according to God, we are. Amen? And we are subject to the laws of men. We are subjects of the state. And you cannot separate the fact, you cannot separate your Christianity and your civility. You cannot separate the fact that though we are you know, ambassadors, and though we are pilgrims and strangers here, we are also members of a nation. We are also members of our communities. We are also citizens of a national place here as well. And therefore, God has got instructions on how to behave ourselves and how to conduct ourselves as His people among the state and among these things. See, it's not just how to live within Christianity, but how to live as a citizen as well, and you cannot separate the truth. See, you can't please God and be a menace to society at the same time. Amen. You can't please God and constantly be breaking the law and constantly being the, that's why I have a problem with these preachers. You better be very careful on following any preacher or listening to what any preacher, self-proclaimed preacher or pastor has to say that's constantly a menace to society. Amen. That's why I have a problem with that goofball out in Arizona, Steven Anderson, and that crowd, because they're a menace to society, man. Constantly getting arrested and causing problems, and I know probably even most of you don't even know what's even going on with him, and you're better off for it. Amen? But I'm just simply saying, these preachers that go around and seem to make it their duty and have taken upon themselves and think it's God's calling for them to straighten everybody else out, you know, and constantly trying to oust everybody and constantly trying to dig up, you know, and put out in the open everybody's skeletons, get all their skeletons out of their closet. You better watch them, guys. Usually the problem is they got something in their own life and they feel like they're trying to justify their own problems. Amen? That's exactly right. And so you better watch these guys, that controversy follows them everywhere they go, is what I'm saying. Amen? Because God has got plans for His people, and the plan for God's people, generally speaking, is that we live in peace. That we live in peace. Matter of fact, we're going to look at some verses that talk about, you know, living in peace regarding the government and all those things. See, the best thing that could ever happen regarding the church or regarding the Christian and the government, the best thing that could ever happen is the two just go peaceably one with another and them just leave us alone. That's the best that could ever happen, is them just leave us alone, let us be at peace, and just let us go on and serve God. Amen. Let us just go on and preach the gospel and serve God and not bother us, not harass us. That's the best thing that could ever happen. Amen. Because God never called the government to preach the gospel. God called the church to preach the gospel. Amen. By the way, God didn't call the government to raise our families and raise our... kicking God out of the state and kicking God out of government. But if you'll find in Acts chapter 5 that the state church, so to speak, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all them, they got together with the government and the apostles were arrested. They were commanded not to preach Jesus anymore. And their response in Acts 5 verse 29 was, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now there may come a time, and there is a time, where we have to say that. We have to make up our mind. We have to decide where our allegiance lies. We have to be sure that our allegiance lies with Christ. Amen? And that's the way it always ought to be. Anytime the government, whether it be local, state, or federal, tries to step in and say, we can or can't do this, that, or the other, and it goes against this Bible, I'll tell you what we got to do. We got to go with the Bible. Amen? And we ain't got to be ugly about it. You ain't got to be mean about it. You can do it gracefully and graciously. Amen? Stand. Amen? And so we got to stand. Listen, when the government tells us we got to shut down and stop assembling ourselves together, you know what we do? We graciously assemble anyways. We gracefully assemble anyways. Whenever the government steps in, and they hadn't done it yet, but there might come a day when they say, we're getting rid of these Bibles because they're a terroristic threat and they're a threat to Homeland Security and all these things, you know what we do? We graciously keep reading our Bibles anyways and keep preaching our Bibles anyways. Whenever they tell us we can't preach the gospel anymore and can't witness the souls and can't try to win souls and tell people they're lost and need to be saved, you know what we do? We go ahead and keep doing that anyways. Amen? But until those things happen, until they start doing things that violate our conscience and violate the Word of God, you know what we are to do? We are to do what God says to do right here. Amen? So I'm just saying that I'm not talking about compromise, and God isn't telling us to compromise, and God is not telling us to obey the government unto sin here. God's not telling us that. The Hebrew boys didn't. Whenever the command from the government, the most powerful king on the planet Earth at that time, Nebuchadnezzar, and one of the most powerful kings that's ever lived in the history of the world, Nebuchadnezzar commanded them to bow to an idol that was not God, you know what they did? They stood. They didn't hurl insults. They didn't post on Facebook and call the king an idiot on Facebook. Amen? Amen? They didn't call him names. They didn't act belligerent and ugly and ridiculous like a bunch of Christians are nowadays. You better be real careful of that stuff. We're going to deal with it. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm just saying you better be careful of that stuff. Amen? You know what they did? Whenever everyone else bowed, they just stood. Amen? With a spirit of grace, with a spirit of humility, with a spirit of courage, with a spirit of boldness, they just stood. And that's what God expects out of us. Amen? He expects us to be subject and to obey. But whenever it does come a point that we are called to sin or called to compromise, listen, graciously we will stand. Because the only way we will stand is by His grace. So we'll only stand by His grace, so we better do it graciously. Amen? And so they didn't bow, and there may have come a time. But the thing is, in most cases, God's people really ought to be and are to be the finest citizens in the community. God's people ought to be the finest members of society. Amen. I've dealt with this before. You know, when it comes time for a raise and a promotion, things like that on the job, listen, it ought to be the Christian on the job that's the most faithful one. I mean, they may not be the most talented, may not be the most gifted. And listen, God's never called us to be the most talented, the most gifted, but He has called us to be faithful and to have a good testimony. And so you may not be the most talented, the most gifted, but listen, whenever it comes to the job and comes to out in society, listen, it ought to be the Christian who is faithful and the Christian who is honest and the Christian who is on time. Amen. And the Christian who gives a good solid day's work, and the Christian who's not lollygagging and goofing around. It ought to be the Christian that is always doing right. Amen? And that's on the job, but that is in society, among the government, among, as far as citizens, that ought to be our testimony. Amen? You know, the Bible talks about, you know, whenever you live for God, and I'm not quoting this exactly, but the Bible talks about, you know, when you live right and you have a testimony, it causes even your enemies to be at peace with you. In other words, if persecution were to come against God's people, there ought to be people in the government who feel bad about it. They're doing what they're told to do, and they don't love God, and they're not saved, so they're doing what they're told to do anyways, but they know these people are right. They know these people have not done anything wrong. That was a testimony of Christ, man. Listen, that Roman soldier stood there, and whenever they put him on the cross, listen, he said, surely this was the Son of God. Listen, Pilate's own testimony was that I find no fault in this man. And he tried to wash his hands with him, and he tried to put the burden on somebody else to get rid of Jesus, because he knew there was such a testimony there that he even, I think, felt bad about what was happening to Jesus. Amen? That ought to be our testimony. Because of the way we live according to God's Word. Amen. Now I want to say this. This is so important. This teaching here is so important. And we won't be running the aisles or swinging from the chandeliers this morning, probably. But I do want you to know this. This is still the Bible. And this is very important and so important this day. And I'll tell you why. Because God's people are way off nowadays in their attitude towards the government. The average church nowadays is, and the average Christian is way off in their attitude and their belief as far as the place that government makes up in their life and in their soul. And we want to make sure we line up with the Bible and make sure we line up with what God says. See, people a lot of times seems like now respect and fear the government more than they do God and the Bible and the preacher and the church. Amen. They're more concerned with what Dr. Fauci has to say than what God's man has to say and what God's Word has to say. They're more concerned with what the commands from the CDC are than what the commands of the Word of God are. They're more concerned and more interested in what's coming down the pipe through the media, and they will listen. I mean, people will latch on to things and believe it and be passionate about all the things that they hear on, you know, Newsmax and Fox News and all these things. But then, we're fighting to stay awake when the Word of God's preached. Isn't that right? And I'm telling you, we've gotten bad off, man. I think if we're not careful, and I think we've gotten to this point in a lot of churches, a lot of Christians' lives. I hate to say it, but I think the government's taken the place of God in a lot of people's lives. Now God is the God in His Word is the final authority. Isn't that right? Now we all say amen to that. We say, oh yeah, that's right. And by the way, and God's our primary provider. Everything we have is because of God. And who meets our needs is God. Isn't that right? And our primary protection comes from God. Amen? He's our protector. He fights our battles. You're never more safe than when you're in the center of God's will. Listen, you might be in the midst of a battle, a real physical battle. But if you're in the center of God's will, there's no safer place on the face of the earth. Amen? God can see you through anything. Isn't that right? He can see you through a storm on the sea, just like He did the disciples. He can see the three Hebrew boys through the fiery furnace. He can see us through. He is our protection. Amen? So He's our authority, He's our provider, He's our protector, amen, all these things. But you take those three things, and a lot of people are looking to the government for those answers. They consider anything the government to say, you know, if the president says it, or if the Congress says it, or if the state government says it, well, then that's the final authority. And if they say it's legal, then that makes it right. And if they say it's illegal, then that makes it wrong. I'm going to tell you something. Legal and illegal is a lot different from right and wrong. And just because something's legal don't make it right, and just because something's illegal don't make it wrong. And so, you know, whatever they say, whatever the experts are saying, the government experts are saying, that's their final authority. I mean, that's gospel truth, you know. Well, this is what they're saying. I mean, I know that's what the Bible said, but this is what they're saying, you know. Amen. Now, careful, they'll take the place of the authority in your life. They'll take the case of provider in a lot of people's lives. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's paid into Social Security all their life and they're getting back what's owed to them. Amen? But these people that are always looking for a handout from the government and they've got their handout wanting everybody else to pay their way. Amen? Because by the way, the government doesn't pay anybody. Taxpayers pay. Isn't that right? And I tell you what's going on. A lot of this stuff is high gear theft is what it is. It's robbing the taxpayer, you know, to pay, you know, all these, to pad the pocket of people that don't want to do anything. Amen? And it's wicked as the devil. If a man would beget a wife or marry a wife and beget children but wouldn't work to provide for them, the Bible says he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Amen? I got serious problems with somebody who says they're saved but will not work to pay their bills and provide for their family. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, if you've got to make a lie about anything to get something, it's already wrong. It's already a sin against God. If you've got to be dishonest and untruthful, amen, to get anything. I'm just saying that's the mentality of our government, though. Getting people all addicted to these handouts and this helicopter money, all this free stuff, amen. Listen, what people call free is never free. But I'm just simply saying, if we're not careful, you're not careful, folks will begin looking to the government as the primary provider. When the government's not our provider, God's our provider. Amen. Amen. And listen, I don't want gas to get $10 a gallon, but I believe this. If it does, because of this administration or anything, if it does, my God will supply. Amen? Because He is my provider, not them. Amen? I always go back to what Brother Johnny Jones preached during the Bible conference. Amen? We ought not be driving away from the gas pump, moaning and groaning that we're spending $4 a gallon. We ought to be driving away that rejoicing that God's still buying it for us at $4 a gallon. Amen? Because He is our provider. Amen. And God's our protector too. Amen. God's our protector, and He's given us good sense. Now listen, there are some delegated things regarding the military, protecting a nation, all those things. I understand that. But you and me as individuals, listen, God's our protector. And He's given us some good sense on things on regarding protecting our family. And by the way, a man ought to have enough grit and a lot of enough brass about him to protect and want to protect his family. Amen? Amen. That's why I'm not willing to give up my guns yet. Amen. That's why I can go out and deer hunt, so I can protect myself and protect my family and protect my home by the grace of God. Because as a husband, as a father, as a leader, that's what God has called us men to do. Amen? Amen. Listen, I don't want to have to dial 911 whenever someone's beating down my door. Listen, when seconds count, the police are minutes away. Amen. I'm not preaching on guns this morning, but I'm just simply saying, you see the mentality there? You see how the government has taken the place of God in that arena in a lot of people's lives? And see, we don't serve the government. We serve God first. And by the way, that's what this whole section is dealing with. That's what the whole point of this is dealing with. He's commanding us to be subject and to obey the government. But the point of this whole section is that God is in control. And so we do it as unto the Lord and not as unto government. We're not subject to them for their sake. We're subject to ought to be subject to them for God's sake because we serve Him. And it's what He has commanded us to do. Amen? That's the whole point of this section. Now, there's really two main commands that we're going to break down and preach this morning, give to you just what's right here. The first one starts in verse number 1, and that is that we be in subjection. God's expectation for saved people is that we be in subjection. He starts out the first phrase in verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And the higher powers He is talking about are the leadership, the government, the leadership. He goes on to say in verse number 5, you look down at verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject. Ye must needs be subject. And so that word subject means to subordinate or to obey. Subordinate, that is to put yourself in rightful order, to put yourself in the right rank. Amen? Listen, we don't outrank the government. You don't outrank the government, the leadership. Not in this world, you don't. Don't ever get the idea that you do. And that's not what I say. That's what God said. God, that doesn't mean we're not better than them. That doesn't mean our God isn't more powerful than them. That doesn't mean God can't do anything that He wants to do. But that means we, with humility and grace and meekness, by the grace of God, because we love Him and want to obey Him, we place ourselves into the proper rank. We subordinate ourselves. Now, there's mainly two reasons for this, and He deals with them right here. First of all, because the government is God's arrangement. You know, God arranged governments. You got these goofballs around always, you know, not always, but I mean, there's just this fringe movement, you know, promoting anarchy, you know, no government. That will never happen. It's within the nature of man to organize himself into governments. I mean, you take the jungles of Brazil or whatever, and, you know, even tribal people that don't know anything about Western civilization, they organize themselves into governments. They have a head, they have a leader, they have those under them. I mean, it's within the nature of man. God put it into man. And God is the one that has arranged this thing. Look at what He says in verse number 1 again. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, turn over there. I want you to look over there. 1 Peter chapter 2. And keep your Bible handy. And we got a lot of ground to cover, so we're going to try to move through this as quick as possible. But keep your Bible handy. I want you to see some verses here, some scripture here. This is what we call getting grounded in the Word of God. Amen? Don't you love the Bible? 1 Peter chapter 2, and look in verse number 13. It says, Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So do it for the Lord. He says, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. I'll repeat the statement I've already made, that you can't be a menace to society and please God. Amen? Amen. And so he says, submit yourselves unto King. The point is that God is the one that set this thing up. God is the one that arranged this thing. Back in our passage, Romans 13, in verse 1, he said, there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And then in verse 2, he calls it the ordinance of God. God ordained this thing. Now, the dispensation, what's known as the dispensation of human government, is set forth in Genesis chapter number 9. Turn over there. We're really just kind of laying some groundwork to all this thing, because it's important to know where the government came from. It was ordained by God. God set it up. Look in Genesis chapter 9 and look in verse number 1. This goes all the way back to Noah. And this is what was referred to as the third dispensation, the dispensation of human government. It says, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. So God sets man as a governing entity over all that lives on the earth. Look at verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh for the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require of the life of man. So, you've got some bleeding heart liberals out there that feel so sorry for some animal that kills a human being, and feel so sorry for that animal when they put that animal down. But we find right here that God said, I will require of the beast of the field, of the beast, your blood. That's the reason we put down animals that kill humans. Because God requires man's blood at the hand of the beast. But then he also requires man's blood at the hand of man. So, in verse 6, he said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man, and you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. So, Noah and his family, humanity, the remainder of humanity, is given the responsibility to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Amen? But Noah is also given the responsibility of capital punishment. Amen? And as God's people and as saved people, we believe in capital punishment. Amen? We believe that if a man sheds a man's blood, then his blood is required. Amen? This guy up in Memphis that abducted that poor old girl and raped and murdered and mutilated her, they ought to string him up, brother. Amen? They ought to shed his blood at the shedding of her blood. Amen? And it's a sad day when our government has gotten so perverted and perverse that we are not requiring the blood of criminals at the blood of victims. Amen? Because that is what God said. That's the way God set up government. Government, we found in 1 Peter, he said that they are there for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those that do good. That's God's plan and design for government. And so, that's the dispensation of human government. Now, their power, all government, is the power is given by God. It started in Genesis 9 with Noah, and that dispensation has carried through. There's never an end to a dispensation. What starts is carried on with God, okay? That's just like the law, you know. I mean, that's carried on. It doesn't end. And so that dispensation, human government, is still alive, still here, still very much in power. And so the power is given by God. You remember Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, whenever he's helping interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream? He says unto the king in verse 37 of Daniel 2, he said, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings." He didn't say that about Jesus. He said that about the king, about King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, thou, O king, are a king of kings. He said, "For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory." He said, the kingdom you have, the power you have, the strength you have, and the glory you have, God has given it all to you. Do you remember whenever we were looking at those nations back in Romans 9, 10, 11, all that national application regarding that election and all those things? And do you remember whenever we look back in the Old Testament and God said unto Pharaoh, "I built you up just to tear you down. I strengthened Egypt and brought Egypt up just to tear you down." Amen? And so because government's power comes from God, government is responsible to God. And God builds some up and God tears some down. Amen? Because God is in control. Amen? Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." Listen, the king's heart is in God's hand. Amen? Listen, nobody's as much in Biden's ear guiding that thing as much as God is. Amen? His heart is in God's hand. Amen? And God raised him up, and God will tear him down before the day is over if God wants to. Amen? God is in control. This is an institution of God. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know this government's corrupt, and I know this government's wicked, and we're commanded to be subject anyways. As long as it doesn't violate our conscience, and as long as we don't have to sin against God to do so, we're to be subject and obedience. But I want to say, thank God, there is a glad day coming. Amen. He said in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Amen. You better believe there is coming a dictatorship one of these days. Amen. You better believe there is coming a dictator that will rule with a rod of iron, the Bible says. His name is Jesus. Amen. And he will sit upon the throne of David, and he will establish his government, and the government will be on his shoulders. And listen, he's going to reign forever and ever, and righteousness will prevail, and iniquity will be punished. Amen. And things will be the way God wants it to go. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that that day is coming. See, their power is given by God. King Jesus is going to take over soon, though. But then all people, because their power is given by God, all people, therefore, are governed by God. Did you realize that? See, the government's power is given by God, and because of that, all people that are under that government are governed by God. Did you realize that? Look in verse number 2, back in our passage. He says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God." He resisteth the ordinance of God. That is, to resist the authority, the delegated authority. I'm not talking about the godly authority. He don't say anything about the authority being godly. And by the way, just because this is God's ordinance, doesn't mean it's a godly ordinance. Amen? Just because it's delegated authority doesn't mean it's godly authority. That's just like in the home. Listen, the husband is the delegated authority in the home, whether he's godly or not. A wife's responsibility is to still subject herself and subordinate herself to that leadership. Amen? And let God deal with him. God never called us to go in and take over the government. Amen. He never called for Christians to get together and have a military coup and take over and overthrow the government and set up some righteous government. Amen. God never called us to do that. The Catholic Church has sure tried. Amen. And they've shed a lot of innocent blood doing so. Amen. Listen, but God never called us to do that. Amen. God called us to subject ourselves, be in obedience. Because if you resist the power, he said, you're resisting God himself. Just what he said. Because all people are governed by God. That word damnation. Look what he says in verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That word damnation is speaking of the judgment that will come from the government for committing a crime. And God's not going to feel sorry for you. If a saved person or someone who says they're a Christian don't live right and they're a menace and they commit some wicked crime and some lost government official punishes them because of it, God don't feel sorry for you. And I don't feel sorry for you either. Because that's what God put them in place for. In other words, if you resist them, you're going to bring damnation on your judgment for committing a crime. That's that God-delegated authority and what God delegated them to do, to punish evildoers and to praise good. So look at verse 3. Verse 3 is what happens whenever government is done God's way. It says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." That is God's idea of government. That is what will happen when government is done God's way. Amen? Evil will be punished, and good will be praised. It does not always work out that way. It isn't always, evil is not always punished. And by the way, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more and more you're going to see that. The more and more you're going to see collectively as a whole our society calling good evil and evil good. You're going to see that more. Yeah, judicially speaking, you're going to see that more and more. I mean, we're seeing that now. I mean, the heroes in society are not Bible preachers and those who stand for what's right and what's righteousness and for righteousness. Those are not the heroes in society. The heroes in society are the weird perverts. The men who start dressing like women, they're heroes. Amen. And they're the heroes from the bottom to top of governance. And it starts in the public school, in the government schools. It starts. Listen, any young person that comes out as a sodomite in the public school system, or any young boy whose parents are so sorry that they wouldn't teach him to be a boy and start letting him dress up like a girl and start letting him live that lifestyle, or some girl starts living and acting like a boy. Listen, they come out of the closet and start promoting that. Listen, they're a hero. They are so brave. Oh, you are so brave. That's it. They're praised. They have advancement. I mean, they're exalted and they're praised. They're the heroes. But listen, you stand for what's right. You stand for righteousness. Listen, you dress right. Listen, you'll be questioned about that. Why do you dress that way? Listen, you live right and you'll be questioned about that. Listen, you not buy into the wicked conversation and people will notice. No wonder, why are you not joining in with us? I mean, they'll notice and they'll persecute you for that. But listen, you live wicked and you will be praised. And that ought not be any surprise to us, because we'll see more and more of that as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. Amen? And so, I mean, you know, that's what we find. And so, but this is the way government is to be in God's eyes. And just because the government isn't necessarily godly, if it doesn't call us to compromise or do something wicked, then we're still to subject ourselves. Now, I need to probably remind you that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost here, is writing to a group of Christians in Rome. Who are putting, yeah, and he was in prison by Rome. That same government he's talking about here has got Nero on the throne, who's lighting his gardens with the bodies of burning Christians, and it hates God, and is putting Christians and putting innocent people in the Colosseum to be eaten by lions and bears and everything else, and putting them against each other to fight each other to the death, and all this wicked stuff that's going on just for the pleasure of Rome to view and watch and, you know, have a good time. They're doing all this stuff for this, their enjoyment, you know. I mean, that is what is going on. These people are at ground zero of that, and those are the people he's writing to. By the way, Jesus himself, when he was here, there in Jerusalem, there in Israel, listen, he never called his disciples the whole time when he thought, when he talked about the kingdom, he thought they were thinking a literal military takeover, a literal kingdom. But Jesus was never talking about that. Listen, we're not looking to set up a kingdom here, a literal, you know, physical, earthly kingdom here. Listen, we're looking for God's kingdom. Amen. Listen, we're in the kingdom of God. Listen, we're living in the body of Christ, and whenever he comes, he'll set up his kingdom then, that millennial kingdom. Amen. And for his honor, we're to obey those that are before us. All right. Now, we give our allegiance to God when the government or state church starts to act like they did in Acts chapter 5. But until then, we subordinate ourselves. So the government is God's arrangement. He designed it all. But then the governors are God's attendants. Look in verse 3. He says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good." Look at that. The minister of God. A minister is a government official. He's the minister of God to thee for good. "But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain." Again, that's talking about capital punishment and physically enforcing laws. The government has the right to physically enforce the laws of men. I mean, it is high gear ignorance, high gear foolishness to take up all the guns from the police. That is high gear ignorance, because then they certainly are bearing the sword in vain. They can't do anything. Isn't that right? "He beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake." So he says that the government officials, those that are within government and leadership, they are the ministers of God. That is, they are the servants of God. They're not men of God, and they're not women of God. They're not godly, but the word minister means servant. They are God's servant. The thing is, they're God's servants, and most of them don't even know it. They think they're serving themselves. They think they're serving their friends and their own interests. But the reality is, they are serving God whether they realize it or not. God is in control. See, he says in verse 5, "Be subject not just for wrath," that is punishment for committing a crime, the wrath that's going to set down on you by this government because you committed a crime and broke one of their laws. Amen? So not just for wrath. In other words, don't do what's right just because if you break a law, you're going to get punished for it. But he says, do what's right and subject yourself for your conscience sake too. That is, we don't want to sin against one of God's ministers. Do you realize you can sin against a minister of God, a government official? Listen, I'm not against calling out what's wrong and calling out right and calling out wickedness. I think that's right. In fact, God's men have called out governments and presidents and kings. We see prophets doing that in the Old Testament. We see Nathan standing before David himself. Listen, God's men have always stood and called sin what it was and called wickedness what it was and preached righteousness, even in the face of kings. Paul stood before Caesar. I mean, all this always happened, amen? And that is right, and that is what we ought to do. We ought to stand for what's right and preach what is right, amen? But you better be very, very careful that you do not sin against the minister of God, because they are still in their place because God put them there. We're going to find here in just a second that he calls us to give them fear and honor because of their delegated position. Not because they're godly, but because of their delegated position. And I see a lot of self-proclaimed Christians, not necessarily anybody here. If you are, I don't know it. But I do see a lot of Christians calling the president an idiot, calling him stupid, making fun of the way he looks, making fun of the way he acts, talking about all these things. And I mean, you know, just diving right in, being belligerent and ugly. And I want you to know that has got no place in the life of a Christian. The world should never see us doing and saying those things. Ever. Ever. Again, I'm not against calling wrong, you know, calling foul when they're. I'm not against that. I'm talking about not treating them any way you wouldn't treat the person next to you. I'm talking about treating them worse than the way you treat your pastor, or treating them worse and being, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're not your pastor, but they still are God's delegated authority. And God will not bless us if we do not have all that in rightful order in our minds, in our heart. That's right. Getting a little ahead of me, but we're going to get there, yeah. Brother Ernest is always two steps ahead. He always knows where we're going. I'm just simply saying you need to be very careful. And you need to keep we need to keep government in its rightful place in our lives. Because the government is not our sole protector, provider, or any of those things. It's not the sole authority. Amen. God is. Amen. And listen, our lives is to revolve around the things of God and living for God. And I think it's high gear hypocrisy to see people get so fired up about Donald Trump. I've seen people go to Trump rallies that have never knocked a door and invited someone to church a day in their life. Amen. And I'm telling you, that shows a heart problem there, friend. Listen, our allegiance is not to the government. And listen, all the good things in life don't come with the right man being in office. Amen. All the good things in life come from God. Amen. And come from the gospel. It is what has changed our life. Amen. And so you better not ever be out on the street trying to get folks to vote somebody if you wouldn't be out on the street holding a scripture sign and been street preaching. Amen. Listen, if you wouldn't knock on somebody's door and invite them to church or give somebody a gospel tract and tell somebody they need Jesus and live right and do right for the glory of God, you better not be out promoting somebody else. Amen. Jesus is the one that we promote. Amen. We subject ourselves, though, to them for the glory of God. We ain't doing it for them. By the way, I ain't got nothing against President Trump. I was glad when he was elected. But listen, I never got more fired up about him than I did about serving the Lord. And you ought not to either. Because we're not here for the government's sake. We're here for God's sake. We're doing what we're doing for the glory of God. We're doing it for His sake. Amen? And what we find a lot of times, you know, people, if not careful, they sin against one of God's ministers. It's okay to disagree, but you don't have to sin when you disagree. Amen? We spend too much time posting and not enough time praying. Just like a pastor, a lot of people, they think, you know, churches and deacons and deacon boards and all these things, not here. But folks, they'll take it upon themselves to run a preacher off whenever they think he's wrong. A church is never, unless a man is blatantly outside the Word of God, I mean, you know, and preaching heresy, just because he don't fix his hair the way you like it, it's never right to run a man of God off. Amen? You know what people ought to do? And churches are, not here, but I'm talking just the churches of our day. Listen, they'll run a preacher off because he don't sing the song he like or do something that they don't like. And they'll take it upon themselves to be God's authority and you know, get them somebody else that they like better. And it's not about what's true, it's about what they like. Isn't that right? But I tell you what would be better. Instead of taking it upon ourselves to be God and do God's will and play in the Holy Spirit, why not just pray for Him? Amen? Pray, if I'm not right in some area, won't you pray for me? Amen? Pray God will help me. And listen, if my heart is set to do wrong enough, you know what will happen? God will kill me to get me out of here if He's got to. Isn't that right? Because this is His church, not mine. Amen? And God will take care of His own. Amen? And I want you to know that the government is not a pastor and the government's not a church, but they are no different in that regards. Amen? And if God wants to, He'll kill them if He's got to. He'll change their direction. He'll change their mind. And what we ought to be doing is praying for them instead of spending all our time posting on Facebook about them. You're welcome. Isn't that right? Well, I don't believe that. Well, turn over to 1 Timothy and let me show you what Paul said to Timothy. Listen, I'm trying to quit, but I mean, we're already eating at church. You've got nowhere to go, so. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And look in verse number 1. God said to Timothy through Paul, He said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And all means all. All men. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We ought to spend more time praying to God for them than we do talking to everybody else about them. Because he set them up, he can tear them down. He put them there. They're there as long as he wants them there. And we ought to be praying. And one of the specific things he mentions that we ought to pray for is that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. God never called us to be at odds with the government. Our calling is to be at peace as much as possible with the government. We ought not always be looking for a fight. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself, he's the Prince of Peace. I know living a Christian, that causes problems. I mean, if you're going to be a Christian, I mean, it's going to cause strife and division. I mean, it's going to happen if you stand for what's right. But as much as possible, just like we talked about Wednesday night, we ought to extend ourselves with the lost as much, in every possible way, to try to be at peace as much as we can. And the same is true with the government, too. We're not always looking for a fight. We're looking to be at peace. And we should be looking to pray for them. How much have you prayed for this president? How much have we prayed for this government? How much have we called on God? Oh, God, touch them and help them and bless them. Help them to acknowledge you in all their ways that you might direct their path. Lord, send them a preacher. Lord, send them a Bible. Lord, may they be saved. Lord, please help them and bless them. Lord, please, no matter what happens, let us lead a quiet and peaceable life. Let us just go on serving you without being harassed and molested by the government. Let us just be at peace. No matter what happens out there, let us be at peace serving God right here. Because here's the reality. If things go south and there's a military takeover, you know, all the worst, you know, all the doomsday preppers, if everything they think happens tonight, and we wake up in the morning and it's a big, you know, martial law, I tell you, God is just big enough to let that go on everywhere else in the country and let us be at peace and just go on serving God under the radar, so to speak, never being noticed, just serving God, doing what's right here, and just keep on serving Him. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying God can allow that to happen. And that's the best thing to happen. It's not necessarily for the government to get behind us, but for the government just to be at peace with, just to leave us alone. Amen. Amen. Just leave us alone. So we're to be in subject. Then last of all, very quickly, the second thing he deals with in this passage back in Romans 13 is that we're to be in subjection, but then we're to fulfill our obligations. We have obligations to the government. He says in verse 6, "For this cause, pay ye tribute also." For this cause. Well, for what cause? Well, for the cause that you might have a clear conscience. That's what he said in verse, the very last of the previous verse. For conscience sake. Do it for conscience sake. And so for the cause of a clear conscience before man and a clear conscience before God, for the clear conscience in that you fulfilled the scriptures and done what is right, for that cause, he says, to pay tribute. You know what paying tribute is talking about? It's talking about paying your taxes. It's talking about paying your taxes. Doing what is right. I'm not against anybody doing everything they can to try to pay as little as possible. I'm for that. As long as it's legal. Amen. And there's things set in place. I mean, you know, we're, you know, things we can do to lower our tax rate. And I'm telling you, I want to pay as little as possible. We all ought to want to pay as little as possible. Because I want them to have as little of my money as possible. I want my money to be able to go to God and the work of God. But, you know, God knows that. Amen. But the command here is, listen, just pay what you owe. Do you know that even Jesus... Now, again, he's writing to the Roman government, a very, very wicked, corrupt Roman government. And even Jesus himself paid his taxes to that same wicked, corrupt government. Amen. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. That's what Jesus said. In other words, just obey God. Do what you're supposed to do and let them give an account to God for how they use it. See, whenever we give to the church and the work of God, we lose our identity when we give. And we all want to be good stewards of what we give to the work of God. Amen. You want that. You want to know that what you give to the work of God is being used right. And we strive to do that around here, don't we? I mean, we strive to make sure everything, nothing is wasted and nothing, money's just not thrown around. Amen. Money, I've heard stories of preachers coming into a church, and I mean, they just leave that church in financial ruin. You know, that's wicked as the devil, man. If anybody ought to know how to handle finances, it ought to be a preacher. Amen. Be wise with finances. It ought to be a preacher. Amen? And if anybody wants to be a good steward of what God's given us, it ought to be God's people. Amen? We ought to want to, you know, take care of it. Amen? But listen, when we give to the work of God, listen, we never give with strings attached, do we? Look, I'm going to give you this, but you've got to use it. You know, we got to make sure it's used right, you know. Now, I understand if there's a particular need that we're taking up a special offering for a specific need. I understand that. But listen, we don't keep, none of us keep our finger on the pulse to make sure every dollar we give is going to the right place where we think it should go. We just give it to the Lord. And then we let the Lord sort it out. We let the Lord, you know, we let the account be given unto God. You know, same. I view taxes the same way. Listen, I don't love paying taxes and thinking about my money going to abortion clinics any more than you do. It's to pay your tribute. Pay what's owed and let God be the judge. Because they were put in that place by God. And whether they're saved or lost, they're going to give an account unto God because of it. They will. And so obey God. Let them give an account to God for how they use it. See, that tribute... That tribute is a personal tax on people and property. The custom that he talks about there, that's a public tax on goods. And then he deals with fear and honor in verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That word fear deals with being alarmed at the judgment that could come from breaking a law. And we ought to fear. People ought to fear what might happen if I break this law. That's why you slam on your brakes when you see a highway patrol and you're going 15 over. I'm sure no one would do that here. Because you fear the repercussions. That $500 ticket or whatever, you know. I know none of you do that. You're also spiritual. But fear. And then honor. Honor. That deals with esteem. Esteeming them. We ought not esteem them any higher than we esteem God and the church of God, but we ought to esteem them. And if somebody would wear a suit and tie to go visit the president, they ought to wear a suit and tie to come see God. Hallelujah. You ought to dress no better to see the president than you would come worship God. Amen. You're welcome right there. Praise God. And so fear and honor, but that is our obligation. That is our obligation unto the government. And just as Paul told Timothy, I'm done. Just as Paul told Timothy, may we pray that righteousness would prevail in our land. May we quit griping and complaining about it and quit and you know, being so fired. There's so many people that are so fired up over everything they see on the news and everything they hear on the radio, the government's doing, and they get so fired up, so frustrated, so irritated. That's why I keep watching that stuff. Because you want to know why? The ones that are so fired up and frustrated and irritated and they're angry all the time about what's going on, versus me over here who doesn't watch really much of it, and I'm kind of, you know, cool as a cucumber because I'm not seeing it, so it didn't bother me. You know what's the common denominator between the two of us? Neither one of us have changed a thing. Versus one has just gone on and lived their life for the glory of God and let God take care of it. And then the other one, you know, who's so fired up and got high blood pressure and a stomach ulcer. Because see, the point is this. The point is that God is in control and He is our head no matter what. And may we be praying that righteousness will prevail. May we look to God. May we live and pray that we might live a quiet and peaceable life here as long as we're here. May we pray that our children in the days ahead, the next generation, can lead a quiet and peaceable life serving God without fear of the government coming in. They can just go on in peace. I wonder this morning, have you ever been guilty of disrespecting God's institution or God's ministers in this thing? Now, I know this may not be one of the big sins we always preach, but I do want you to know this, that a lot of Christians are making fun of the president. A lot of Christians are sinning against that office and not being respectful, or self-proclaimed Christians anyways. And you better be careful. See, the thing is, God will never bless you if you're not in His will in this. He'll never bless you. We got to make sure our heart is right, even in this thing, because these are God's expectations of us. Amen. Stand strong, stand right, stand uncompromising, but do it for the glory of God, and do it graciously, and do it by His grace. Amen. Do it right. Amen. 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 That's right. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace this morning. Thank you for your word and helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it and bless it. Help us all to be in your will, Lord, even in these things. Help us, Lord, to follow you and serve you and to keep on living for you. Lord, I pray that you would bless now as we close the service, blessing the altar call. Lord, if there be one, Lord, that you've dealt with their heart about anything, I pray that you'd bless them and help them to respond the way you'd have them respond. And we'll thank you for the work that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.